Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The most amazing things are hidden in the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He did not have to enter our world of sorrow and sin and mortality. He did not have to, but he did. He stepped down out of heaven and entered our world. And that's the opposite of the spirit of our age, where so many in our day try and shield themselves from the truths of sin and sorrow and mortality. But those truths will come. He entered our world. In John 11, Jesus comes to Lazarus' tomb. And as he comes, this Son of God, this eternal, all-knowing Savior, this render of tombs, who knew that he would raise Lazarus, this Jesus shared in the very human sorrow of Mary and Martha, and he wept. He comes close to us, doesn't he? He shares the human feelings of loss and sorrow and grief. And he shares those feelings even though he knows what he is going to do in just a few moments. Isaiah calls him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And these tears of John chapter 11, Mary and Martha and those around them, they are our tears, and that is what the salt is for. The imagery goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. It's found its way planted in the Passover meal where there is salt water, salt for the tears of the slavery. Tears because we lose loved ones. Tears because we know we must die as well. Tears because life as God created it has gone wrong and we are at fault. Tears for the many ways that sin steals the joys of life away. Tears from the time of the Israelites in Egypt, suffering and slavery, the New Testament, outside Lazarus' tomb. Jesus wept there. And then shortly after, in the timeline of the Gospels, overlooking Jerusalem and knowing the judgment that would come upon the city. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed, we hear of his sweat becoming great drops of blood. The sorrow he experienced was part of the cross, part of the plan of salvation. In the book of Hebrews, it says, it was fitting that he should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, because he himself has suffered when tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. So the Jews looked on. One of the reactions of those looking on was, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Well, yes and no. Suppose if Jesus had been there that day when Lazarus passed away, he could have healed Lazarus and Lazarus would not have died that day. But no. No, we all must die. And even though through the centuries young people have thought that they were immortal, but it is given man once to die and then the judgment. And there we are right at the heart of it all, aren't we? As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it and it is gone. And there is sorrow and there is grief. And then the deeper part, the part that the Jews there that day did not understand. Yes, he is the one. He is the one who conquers death. He is the one who brings the only answer. But the answer comes at a price. From our catechism. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. How's that end? This is most certainly true. They didn't understand that part. Could not this one have kept this man from dying? From the full measure of death? Yes. Yes, but it comes at a price. Mary didn't understand this part either. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But wait, Jesus is there. He is there to bring Lazarus back from the dead. He is there to conquer death and trample it underfoot, and he's there to share in the sorrow and the tears. The second person of the Trinity stands outside the tomb. As he steps in to bring an early taste of the answer that he will bring, he weeps. In the ancient world, they heard us Christians talking this way. And the reaction was, this is complete insanity. It's still the reaction of many. The idea that God, any God of any people, would love them and be willing to suffer and die for them is astonishing. Didn't the gods of the nations demand to be served? But here is Jesus, the one who would come among his people, take their sins on himself, suffer the righteous judgment on those sins, and share their sorrow, share their dying. This changes everything. So salt, not only for tears, it is also for seasoning, for the flavor of the food, and it is necessary for life. And salt reminds us that it is a very human Jesus who was laid in the tomb, one who would share our tears. Very human Jesus who rose from the dead. The message of the cross then is one that we carry out into the world, and it's a message for all the rest of humanity. For all the rest of the human race that shares in the suffering and sorrows of life. All the rest of the human race that searches for how to deal with it. All the rest of the human race that watches Christians as we share the same sorrows and sufferings, but we do so with one Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, walking with us. Jesus who came to be with us in our trials. The Jesus who wept and sweated and prayed, and in his cross brings the seasoning that changes every part of life. So the message of the cross and the empty tomb brings us into life, not just pulling us back from death, brings us into life. Not just existing, but life. It is what Jesus called having life abundantly. It's a peace that passes understanding, and it is a joy that the world cannot take away, because there it is in the face of everything that the world surrounds us with. In the cross of Jesus, we see that God knows and loves his people. Through the cross and the empty tomb, we find that Jesus actually does come to us in the deepest part of our mortality. And he brings life. He brings life because he brings himself. He goes with us through all of the things of life. And through it all, we find we can depend on him. The joys come from a loving Heavenly Father. The sorrows we share with God who loves us, with a Savior who knows our needs. And the cross and the empty tomb, they change us. They change us because how we see life and how we relate not only to the world around us, but to our own existence, to the troubles of life and to our mortality, all of that has changed. Jesus gives us his empty tomb, so that we may know that the final part of the story is not tears, but unending joy. And then we are sent out into the world. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth." There's a seasoning about us that changes all of existence. There's a seasoning about us that changes how those around can see life. It is nothing else than Jesus' cross and Jesus' tomb broken for us. In Jesus' name, Amen.